you're in the home 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And today is Thursday, May 20th, which is just a mere footnote in the real significance of what today is. It's Field Yates and Matthew Berry on the podcast today, Matthew. But noticeably absent today is Stefania Bell. But we give her a pass for one day. Do you know why that is, Matthew?
I don't, because I feel like we give her a pass every day. Wow, why is star Fania Bell is star Fania Bell on some sort of boondoggle? That is my guess.
It's her birthday, dude.
So she is. She's on a birthday boondoggle.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I'd imagine so. You can travel now, right? I mean, people are starting to live their lives more normally.
I didn't realize that. You know why? Because I'm fairly self-absorbed. I mean, you know, like I got to be honest with you, Field. I have to be honest with you. I come off, obviously, as, you know, very gregarious, really caring about everyone else. But the truth is, if I'm being honest, if I can let the listeners in behind the curtains a little bit, I'm a little self-absorbed. I'm a little egocentric, if I'm being honest. And, you know, I got five kids, you know, my son's got a big lacrosse game today against Greenwich. You know, or I'm figuring out how I'm going to get down there. Like, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on. So right. now adding to all of this, I got to find a funny photo of Stefania and do an Instagram post. Like, I got a lot going on.
Busy
and
day
apparently I got to talk about you. Fake football players with you guys. So
I was gonna say, you got to spend time in the mean streets of Greenwich and on Instagram. Tough day for Matthew, but sincerely.
Finally, someone who understands me, Field. Someone who understands the thing. Like, why I should get the day off? Why is Stefania getting the day off? Do they not understand what I have going on?
Well, of course, upsetting. By the way, Stefania is traveling for work today. So, Stefania, happy birthday. If you decide to listen to this podcast, you know how much we all love you here. To say that you are the glue of the podcast would be understating it. Easily the smartest person on the show, the kindest, the most generous, most humble, any positive adjective that you can think of, it most likely applies to the great Stefania Bell. Go and wish her a happy birthday on any of the social media channels you follow the great Stefania Bell on.
She is absolutely fantastic. We love Stefania. She is star Fania for a reason. FSWA Hall of Famer.
Literal Hall of Famer. That's
right. And of course, her brilliant work on Project 11 detailing Alex Smith's comeback last year was a highlight of the content that ESPN puts out every single year. I keep being amazed that she hasn't, you know, blown us off for greener pastures, but for some reason she likes hanging out with probably you. Honestly, if we're being honest, I think you and Daniel, and she tolerates me.
Yeah, that's probably true, but we'll just keep moving past it so that it doesn't make it any more awkward, because it's totally 100% true. You mentioned that Stefania has great content all over ESPN. Part of the content that she was recently involved with was a mock draft, which we did on Monday, our first mock draft of the offseason. Here are the drafters: Matthew, myself, Stefania, Mike Clay, Daniel, Eric Carabell, Tristan Cockcroft, Matt Bowen, Seth Walder, ESPN analytics expert, and Kyle Soppy. So some of the people
once again, thirsty Kyle weaving his way into the mock draft. That's why people always ask, like, thirsty Kyle, like, does he have a drinking problem? He does not. He actually doesn't drink alcohol. Does he have a female problem? He does not. He is happily married and has been with the same woman for forever. So he is thirsty Kyle, because he's, you know, he's desperate for the spotlight, for the microphone. And once again, thirsty Kyle winds up in the mock draft. I don't know how that is. I don't know why we could have asked anyone. Like, there's a zillion people we could have asked. Like, what? Go ahead. What do you got, Daniel?
So the plan is that last spot, we're going to rotate through people. So next time it's probably going to be Matt Harrington, as you know, the producer who did all of our video stuff, made the podcast a million times better this last year. So he's going to be the drafter for the next mock.
Right. The smart half of the Irish twins in the War Room League at ESPN. He is Field Yates' partner there. Matt Harrington, a great fantasy player. Yes. And the guy that runs fantasy football now has for many, many years. But yeah, like I don't know. I was just like, you know, whatever. Like Dan Graziano or Mike Triplett, some of our NFL Nation reporters who we know are like great, you know, fantasy players as well. Like there was a lot of people we probably could have chosen from there. So yeah. Kyle winds his way in. Go ahead.
It's Zoom. It's hard to do these things, you know, as I would say naturally and with as much chemistry as you can conjure up when we're in person, but. This year, the battle I'm fighting with you is we're putting the Kyle hate to waste this upcoming season. Way too much of that from you. I don't appreciate it. And frankly, Kyle does too much for this podcast to have any sort of Kyle slander. No more of the soppy slander going forward from you.
Soppy slander.
And it is slander. Don't even try to defend yourself. Don't even try to defend yourself.
I'm absolutely not going to defend myself. I'm just being honest here. I'm just calling it like I see it. By the way, my slander has no boundaries. Like there, it's not directed at any one person.
Yeah,
like,
first it was at Stefania for having a birthday today. Now thank it's for you. Kyle exactly. for working too hard.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Wow. That's exactly right. It is all to deflect from, you know, from myself, you know, because if I don't do it, then people might focus a little bit too much on all the failings that I have as both a fantasy analyst and a human being. So I hear your request and I reject it. I reject it out of hand. Absolutely not. But I will start it on you, Field Yates. Like what's going on? Like, come on. I'm just impressed. You found time to do this podcast in between your 8 billion other gigs at ESPN.
I always have time for this podcast. Always make time for this podcast on time as well. Let's get into the mock draft, Daniel, because there were a lot of names that we just mentioned, a lot of picks made. I'm going to pass the baton over to you. We're going to go through a handful of notable picks, maybe all over the different rounds and sort of figure out what either Matthew, myself, or others might have been thinking when they made those selections.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I'm going to tee up really quickly, Phil, before we do that is if you are around tonight at 5 p.m.,
this is Matthew Thursday, Berry, May 20th.
Yep. Thursday, May 20th, Matthew and I are going to live tweet our latest episode of the Fantasy Show. So make sure that you jump on Twitter, come hang out with Matthew and I.
Make sure to mute Matthew for sure during that.
Please do not, Field. Please do not. But just come hang out with us if you want to on National Streaming Day. So it should be a ton of fun to be able to do that.
It is hashtag National Streaming Day. I think I'm taking over the ESPN Fantasy Twitter handle. I think that's current plan. Yeah. Wow. So first thing I'm doing, unfollowing at Field Yates.
That's you're not missing much, so I can't blame you.
That's the first thing I'm doing.
The ESPN Fantasy handle hasn't tweeted since April 30th, so good chance for you to get it back up off the ground. Daniel, what do you got? Let's get rolling.
All right, we're going to get rolling, guys. As Field said, you already know the drafters. I'm going to run through some of these names quickly. Obviously, in an audio format, it's tough to be able to do some mock draft stuff. But one of the things I just want to go through round by round, we're going to have a couple of things that stand out here. First thing, when you look picks 1 through 6, it is exactly what you would expect. McCaffrey, Cook, Barkley, Kamara, Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, all the 6 top running backs that you would assume. And Matthew, I got a question starting at 7 because that's where Kyle was picking. And traditionally, that's where you would look at potentially a Davante Adams type wide receiver 1 going there. But instead, it was Travis Kelce. I then took Aaron Jones and Seth Walder took Tyreek Hill. Adams didn't go until the 10th pick of the first round, the second wide receiver taken, all because of this Aaron Rodgers uncertainty. How do you feel if you're drafting now? How are you approaching this Davante Adams situation?
I think the drafters handled it correctly. I mean, I had pick 5 and I think that, you know, I took Derrick Henry. But I think that's the first spot where you could actually, if you knew Aaron Rodgers was going to start game 1 for the Packers, I think that's where you could easily think about taking Davante Adams, right? And certainly at 6. So I didn't have a problem. Stephania Bell took Zeke at 6, didn't have an issue with that. Again, right, because we're drafting here in the middle of May when this draft took place. It was last week. And like, I think we all feel like, we don't know. I don't know what percentage I would put on that Aaron Rodgers isn't playing for the Packers next year, but I think we all agree that like there's a real chance. Like it's not a 5% chance. Now, I don't know if it's 50. I don't know if it's 75. I don't know if it's 30, but your first round pick has to be rock solid, has to be someone that you feel like barring injury, and you can never predict those, but barring injury, this is somebody that's going to produce at a very high level and very consistently. And so I think, you know, when you sit there and you go like, look, Davante Adams without Aaron Rodgers, still a very good wide receiver, still one of the best in the NFL, still going to get insane target share. We talked about this, you know, think about 2017, the final eight games of 2017 when Aaron Rodgers was out. And why am I blanking on the quarterback? Who's the terrible quarterback that was Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley. When Brett Hundley was the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers over that final eight games, Devontae Adams still averaged 16.3 fantasy points per game. Brett Hundley. You know what I mean, like, do we think Jordan Love or Blake Bortles, whoever they would get to replace Aaron Rodgers if he doesn't play for the Packers, is going to be worse than Brett Hundley in 2017? I don't think so. So, like, he still should be a top five wide receiver. But if you knew Aaron Rodgers weren't there, mm-hmm. You're definitely taking Kelce ahead of him. You're taking Tyreek Hill. You're taking Aaron Jones ahead of him. So I don't have an issue with this because, you know, it's basically everyone hedging their bets, you know, in the middle of May that, hey, we think there's a very real chance Aaron Rodgers has played his last game as the Packers quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, Field, I'm curious, when you look at this, seeing Travis Kelce, Aaron Jones, Tyreek Hill, anything that you disagree, is 7 too early for Travis Kelce? Or given that positional scarcity of what we've seen at the tight end position and how unbelievably good he is, Kelce at 7 doesn't make you bat an eye.
Yeah, you know something, Daniel, let's be honest. This first round went about as you expect it to go. There's really nothing here that's particularly interesting other than where you take Devontae Adams with the uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Totally fine with Travis Kelce going number 7 overall. You get an elite pass catcher. You get the biggest position gap of any in fantasy football. Let's move to round 2.
Love it. So round 2, coming off the board, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Nick Chubb, Cam Akers, Najee Harris, Joe Mixon. Lot of running backs off the top of the board here. Later on in that round, DeAndre Swift and Antonio Gibson also went. 5 of the 10 managers that we had started with running back field. I'm curious, with how deep wide receiver is, are we just seeing managers so far in this early May mock draft say, I've got to make sure that I'm locking up that running back position for my starters?
Yeah, here we are, Daniel. Again, these the same thing we talk about every single year during mock draft season is that no matter how many times we tell you it, it only becomes more and more true seemingly every year. The wide receiver depth is off the charts. I mean, you're going to see some of the wideouts that are going in the 3rd round, the 4th round, the 5th mm-hmm. round. I've said this, there are wide receivers going in the back end of the 3rd round that it wouldn't stun me if they were the number one wide receiver in fantasy this year. I'm not counting on it, but it certainly wouldn't stun me. So no surprise that we have 6 running backs, to start the 2nd round. And I know that we could parse through each of these and why Cam Akers ahead of Najee Harris or why Austin Eckler behind Jonathan Taylor. I would just say, speaking generally, Matthew, like, I don't know that we have a clear tier amongst these 6 that, like, hey, you absolutely unequivocally have to be taking Austin Eckler first. I would say I could quibble a little bit with the order, but nothing really stands out to me amongst those 6 and the way that they went.
Yeah, I have no quibbles either. But I mean, I would say, listen, I'm always beating the drum for Austin Eckler. I think people, because of the injury last year, I think people forget just sort of the insane volume that Eckler got. I think they'll be a better team. They improved their offensive line this offseason. I think Eckler's a special player. I think that offense obviously takes a, you know, we saw what Justin Herbert under center did for that team. So I do think Eckler's a little bit underrated in general in fantasy. Glad to see Seth take him there with the 2nd pick of round 2. You know, one thing that I think is interesting, and I want to throw this at you, I had a real decision at 6 where I had Joe Mixon, where I could have taken Joe Mixon, who I thought was sort of the last bell cow running back, but coming off of an injury and disappointing, or Stephon Diggs, who you ended up getting the pick after me. So, I mean, I went back and forth on that, and I decided to see what kind of wide receivers would be available in round 3, and we'll get to that in a second here, but the concern for me, the thought on Mixon was, again, this is a guy that got insane volume last year. I think that offense is better with the addition of Jamar Chase. I think, you know, the offensive line still isn't great, but I think it's an improvement from where it was last year. And I think that Mixon, with no Giovanni Bernard in the background as well, is going to be a true 3-down back and be involved in that offense even more significantly. So, again, injuries were a big problem there with Mixon. He just couldn't come back. And so is he going to be healthy for the season? There was, you know, his injury was a weird one, right? Every week you're like, when's Mixon coming back? And then he just never did. And obviously that offense also hinges on the health of Joe Burrow, but curious what you thought there, Field. Had I passed on Mixon, would you have taken him at 7 or would you have gone a different way?
I probably would have taken Joe Mixon at 7, and I don't want to spoil how these next couple of rounds go. We'll get to them in just a couple of moments here, but I think I got very fortunate with the way that my team broke, specifically in the fourth round. Probably don't want to be taking Joe Mixon, all things being equal. Matthew is my RB2 only because of the trust that I lost last year. But
sure,
you know, if the option is Joe Mixon versus the next tier running backs, the DeAndre Swift, Antonio Gibson's, those type of players, the, you know, J.K. Dobbins, Miles Sanders, then it's weird. It's like Joe Mixon might be at the bottom of a tier, but he's still a cut above the next tier. So he was at the bottom of that tier that went the way that it did, which is why when he was off the board, rather than taking the next best running back, I went with Stephon Diggs. So Daniel, with that, let's move forward to round 3, where all of a sudden the board opens way up and we see running backs and
wide receivers,
even the tight end.
Real quickly, before we move on, I just want to just echo your point that you just said there, Field. I totally agree, because it starts getting ugly quick. Not surprising. It starts getting ugly quick with the running backs. I love Swift and I love Gibson, but you know, are there question marks with those guys the same way that there are question marks with Sanders and Dobbins in terms of their workload, right? And, you know, or, you know, CEH, right? It starts getting a little dicier. I agree with you. He is the bottom of the tier, but he is definitely the last in the of that tier before you get to the next one.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
Yeah. I mean, we look at round 3 here too, and you see a huge shift here. The first two picks, Miles Sanders and J.K. Dobbins. I'm really intrigued on J.K. Dobbins this year.
Let's just call what it is though here. I think what's notable in round 3, because you mentioned the two running backs at the top, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What you're seeing in round 3, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty obvious, is that, as I was saying earlier, the wide receivers going around 3, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, D.K. Metcalf, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, and Calvin Ridley. I think any of those guys, maybe with the exception of Ridley, finishing as wide receiver 1 overall this year would not be a stunner to me. And if Julio Jones is traded, Calvin Ridley could do it too. He was like a top 7 wide receiver last year. But what you're seeing with the running backs is the opposite, right? Miles Sanders, I know Matthew's had plenty to say about him in previous podcasts. J.K. Dobbins, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, major disappointment last year. All those guys could be the star of their respective backfields. Or, you know, Miles Sanders could see, you know, a handful of carries a game eaten away by Kerryon Johnson, and Boston Scott could catch some passes. J.K. Dobbins could have fewer carries than Gus Edwards, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire could score 2 touchdowns this year and not have much involvement in the passing game. So really what this comes down to is that if you took 2 running backs in the first 2 rounds, you have an opportunity to land a star wide receiver in round 3 and feel really good about your roster with only 3 out of 16 rounds under taken.
And honestly, it feels like in round 3, you're sitting here, you're reaching a little bit for running back if you didn't go running back in the first 2 rounds. But if you didn't go running back in the first 2 rounds, I would rather you just basically punt on running back for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're going sort of like a modified 0 RB, if you will. And in essence, basically you have 1 star running back. And then I would rather, you saw Kittle go in this round as well. I'd rather you take a Darren Waller here. I'd rather you take another wide receiver and say, like, I'm just going to load up on a couple of star wide receivers. And then, you know, I'll wait another round or two on a running back. Sanders, Dobbins, and CEH feel like reaches to me here a little bit. I love J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins was my first round pick in the Dynasty League that the 3 of us play in.
Yep.
But it's a team that you know, that added Rashad Bateman, that is going, is still going to have a significant workload for Gus Edwards. And I just don't know that, that Dobbins is going to get enough work in the passing game and on the ground. Remember, obviously Lamar Jackson basically acts as a running back in terms of the volume of rushes that he gets per game as well. So he's basically, you know, J.K. Dobbins is a very talented running back in a three-headed committee in Baltimore. Love, love the player, but I just, you know, his ADP strikes me as a little bit out of control because I think everyone thinks like, oh, Mark Ingram's out now. And it's just like, you have to think of Lamar Jackson as a running back when you think, when you're divvying up sort of carries in that backfield and just how much involvement does he get in the passing game? Edwards doesn't really catch passes, but do they throw a little bit more vertically now that they have Bateman along with Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews?
I'm totally with you, Matthew. And what you both explained is exactly my thought process going into this. I took George Kittle here after going running back, the idea of seeing how many of these top wide receivers were still on the board and seeing who I could get in the fourth. I wanted to be able to secure that, you know, top tier tight end position before moving on to wide receiver, because if I am passing on running back at this point, I'm with you, Matthew. I'd rather wait until the fourth or fifth round and see what I can find there to secure one of those top running backs.
All right. So can I take it into round four, just because I mentioned earlier how I think I got lucky, because so my team,
I mean, went. There was one last thing I want to bring up. Go ahead. What do you got, Daniel? Sorry.
Well,
I was
going to
bring
up
one other thing in this round.
You bring it up first, and then I'll bring up my thing, and then Field can go with last after that.
So what was fascinating to me is, again, you know, you mentioned all those names of wide receivers, but again, I thought this was notable because Stefania Bell, among everything, among the many other things, is somebody who's drafted in a million times with her. Stefania Bell is very risk averse when it comes to drafting, right? And obviously with a huge bent on healthy players. And so the fact that her number one wide receiver she drafts in this round is Michael Thomas, I thought was really interesting. To me, he's a really fascinating player this year. Here's a guy that was a consensus top three fantasy wide receiver for a number of years. He was the consensus number one wide receiver last year, and obviously had a bad year, injured. It was just a weird year in New Orleans. And now it's his first year without Drew Brees under center. And so where Michael Thomas is a little bit older, coming off this bad year, no Drew Brees, but I mean, I think people feel like he's been around forever, right? He's what, probably 28 off the top of my head, 29?
Okay. Sure. I am unsure.
It's only his,
let me look.
Yeah. You're in the league, right. So I'm guessing he's at the oldest 27.
Anyway, whatever.
Just turned 28 in March.
Okay, there you go. So fine. I mean, he's not old. He's not like, you know, Julio Jones obviously is a number of year old.
He's
like 32. Right. He's, you know, listen, no one's old compared to me. It's all relative. But my point is that Michael Thomas could be a huge. I was comforted by the fact that Stefania was willing to take Michael Thomas here. Mm-hmm. And I think he's potentially a huge value here, because just like we talked about Davante Adams, like Michael Thomas is still a really talented wide receiver who's still going to get massive target share regardless of who the quarterback is for New Orleans, whether it's Winston or Hill.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough. So let me get to my point. Or Daniel, your point, and then I'll get to mine on round four.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my point is, do you own or rent your home, Field Yates?
I do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. I'll bet it can be real hard work too. But do you know what's easy?
What's that?
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, Phil, take us into round four.
Yeah, so round four. And again, I went Alvin Kamara, fourth overall. Fourth or fifth? Yeah, fourth. And then in the second round, I ended up taking Stephon Diggs, and then I got Justin Jefferson in the third round. So I just don't know. Wow. I can talk myself into one of those one of those running backs in round three. And here's where I felt like I got lucky in round four, is that after Matthew took Amari Cooper ahead of me, I took David Montgomery, the second running back off the board in round four. Kyle took Chris Carson, and the next running backs taken after David Montgomery, two picks later, Mike Clay takes Josh Jacobs. And then we go all the way until round five, pick seven, Miles Gaskin, the only running back taken right after David Montgomery, before we get to round six. So nearly a round and a half, just two more running backs taken. I felt like David Montgomery was like, if he wasn't there, I'm not sure who I'm taking at that spot. I don't want to go. I don't want to force the issue with the running back, Matthew. And I kind of feel like, and yes, I did trade for him in a dynasty league yesterday as well. I kind of wonder if David Montgomery is a little bit underrated falling all the way to the seventh pick of the fourth round. I know that the schedule was butter soft last year at the end, but some of that was not just like he was playing bad defenses. Like David Montgomery had star performances down the stretch, and they have done nothing this offseason that leads you to believe this running back is going to look a lot different. Tariq Cohen will be back, but Tariq Cohen at his apex is never going to be like a 15 carry per game guy. He's just like, you know, an occasional rush and some catches per game.
No, he's not. But what he is going to do is he is going to eat into Montgomery's passing game work, right? I mean, that's the thing is if you look at the numbers of I'm out on Montgomery this year, and I might be wrong on that. And certainly I will certainly say that assuming that Justin Fields starts game one, having a mobile quarterback like Fields will help Montgomery. Listen, I don't think Damian Williams goes there. I think Damian Williams is going to be a viable fantasy starter? I don't. But do I think he gets 5 to 7 touches a game that eats into Montgomery's volume? I do. Do I think Tariq Cohen catches 3 to 4 balls a game that eats into Montgomery's volume? I do. And so that's the thing. If you look at, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. Maybe Thirsty Kyle does, but the average number of targets that Montgomery got per game, I think were over 4 without Tariq Cohen, and they were under 2 with Cohen there. And again, I could be wrong on those numbers, but I do know that the numbers jump
a little
significantly.
More than that, but
yeah, jump significantly. Yeah.
Tariq Cohen got injured early last year. So Montgomery, yeah. You know, it's certainly, I mean, he had 54 catches last season, but his last 6 games, he really took off 6, 4, 4, 2, 2, 9 in terms of targets. So he certainly got more involved in the passing game late in the season.
So that's the concern is lack of, you know, does he get the insane volume that he was getting last year? You know, do I think he's still their bell cow? I do, but you know, as opposed, he was getting 20 plus touches a game. And do I think that's more like 15? I do. And then, you know, and then right, there's not as much usage in the passing game, which hurts his PPR value. And, you know, and does Justin Fields vulture 3 or 4 touchdowns, you know, when they get in close, like, you know, on a quarterback keeper or, you know, scramble, something like that. So having said that, we're in the middle of round 4. You yelled at me for my soppy slander earlier in the podcast, Field Yates. I'm gonna say this. I have a compliment for Thirsty Kyle right here.
Okay.
I thought Thirsty Kyle with his 4th pick in the 4th round, I was very angry at him because I thought he made a great pick with Chris Carson. Chris Carson somehow is just insanely undervalued. All he does is get huge volume, run like hell on a good offense. He increases his passing game usage every single year. People think he's like injury prone, and yet you look at the games played and it's right up there with elite running backs. Like, I think he missed 2 games last year, something like that off the top of my head. You know, I don't know. I just think I'm a huge Chris Carson fan, and I think he gets way disrespected in fantasy drafts. He did in ours as well. And so Kyle getting Carson in the 4th round is an absolute steal. I thought the other interesting thing about this round here, Field, I don't know if you have a reaction to Carson, but the other interesting thing about this was both Darren Waller and Kyle Pitts go in this round. Darren Waller goes the 2nd pick to Seth Walder, and then Kyle Pitts goes to Stefania at pick 5. I love Kyle Pitts, but there's no way in earth that he should be going within three picks of Darren Waller.
Right.
And I think it's more about Darren Waller fell too far than Kyle Pitts got overdrafted.
What I was going to tell you though, Matthew, is like, just expect this to happen. Like, expect Kyle Pitts to be the player that's overdrafted this year. He could end up meeting these expectations, but no matter what league you're playing in, expect Kyle Pitts to go sooner than you imagine he's going to go right now. That makes sense. Too much buzz surrounding him.
I'm really interested to see when we do our June, July, and August mock drafts, how that landscape changes with Kyle Pitts and if he falls a little bit more after that initial rookie hype.
Yeah, by the way, Secret Squirrel, who has black in his heart, who's just evil, takes Terry McLaurin in this round, two picks before it gets to me, which is
He did that
as just an F you to me. You did. Like you That's did true. You literally like you don't like Terry McLaurin. You don't care about him. I don't know why you wouldn't like if you wanted a wide receiver one of a team, why you wouldn't have gotten Breshad Perriman, why you wouldn't have drafted him here. You know, but no, you got to take Terry McLaurin from me. You got to take.
You want to know why? It's because Terry McLaurin. Yeah, he's gonna be fantastic. Because I had two running backs and a tight end, Terry McLaurin with Fitzmagic out there. I mean, I am stoked that I was able to feel. I mean, we mentioned this. The idea that I could get Terry McLaurin, who has the all of the ability in the world in the fourth round here, I was just thrilled that I was able to shore up that wide receiver position. And
I'm not sure I see wide receiver one overall from McLaurin upside. Like he's not quite that tier of the AJ Browns, correct, DK Metcalfs, et cetera, yep, but he is certainly a player that has a ton of value in round four relative to others that are being drafted there.
And again, to your point about wide receivers who feel, look at some of the wide receivers that went in this round, like Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin.
Wide receiver one.
I mean, Carabelle got Adam Thielen at pick eight in this round. I got Amari Cooper, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't love Amari Cooper. Well, that Cowboys offense is going to be ridiculous once again this year. It is going to be scoring tons of points. And so he's the number one wide receiver on one of the best offenses in football. That's what they're going to be with Dak Prescott back under center. And so for me to get Amari here, at six to go along with DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper is my number two wide receiver. Like, and Amari Cooper obviously has top 10 upside. Same with McLaurin, same with Robinson, same with Thielen. Like, it's nice.
We get here to round five and some things happen here because this is that spot where you could see a ton of wide receivers just come off the board, right? We've reached the rest of the value with the running backs. Deontay Johnson, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Lockett, and Ja'Marr Chase all went here in the fifth round. I was the only person I took a quarterback here. I took Patrick Mahomes in the fifth. I thought, Mahomes in the fifth? I was pretty pleased with the idea of being able to get him there, but you know, when I look at where a quarterback fell the rest of the draft, we'll wait and talk about it when we get there. I almost feel like I was a little early on Mahomes with how quarterback fell with the rest of this draft.
I didn't dislike the pick there, Daniel. You know, I don't want to say anything bad, but honestly, listen, you're not losing this league because you have Patrick Mahomes, especially in the fifth round.
Yeah,
I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes. You'll be just fine. Like, he's really, really good. It's great value. And it's also, by the way, I mean, I was going to take, if he lasted five more picks, I was taking him in the next round. The fact is that all these wide receivers that you just mentioned, they're all sort of the same. They all have some nice upside. They all have a little bit of flaws there. You know, a little Cooper Kupp, the Tampa Bay guys, Evans and Godwin, Lockett. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase goes here, which I thought was interesting. The first rookie wide receiver off the board here at the end of round five to Matt Bowen. Which is also, by the way, interesting. Matt Bowen, who, of course, crunches the film like nobody else. The confidence that he has in Ja'Marr Chase, I thought, was notable.
You crunch film these days? Is that what you do? Like, what does that mean?
What I do is I get those little strips of film that I look at. When I'm done with them, I crunch them up so no one else can watch it.
Got it. Okay. That's an interesting way of doing it.
Actual film, like, you know, because... You know, that's how we did it back in the day before we had talkies.
Quick question. Is this a little early for Tyler Lockett here in the fifth, end of the fifth round, ninth pick, with the up and down season that he had last year? That's my question.
He drives me crazy, Tyler Lockett, you know, fantasy wise again, because of the inconsistency, because of the run heavy nature of Seattle, because it was clear that DK Metcalf last year became the alpha on that team. Like, he is the clear cut number one. There was a changing of the guard last year. And so, you know, does Lockett get the Lockett's always been a very efficient fantasy wide receiver. He hasn't needed big volume to produce big fantasy numbers, but he also really struggles with consistency and has for 2 years now. They add Eskridge, who I know a lot of people like. And do I think Eskridge is a standalone fantasy asset assuming health for Lockett and Metcalf? I don't. But do I think he takes enough away that maybe it hurts a little bit? I agree with you. This struck me as a little bit earlier for Tyler Lockett field. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with Tyler Lockett is like end of season where he's going to finish rankings wise amongst wide receivers is probably in line with where he was drafted. But you know, it's going to be the roller coaster ride. He might have a couple weeks with 50 points and he might have a couple weeks with, you know, five receiving yards, because that seems to be the trend in that offense. So Daniel, I think we should just comb through the rest of this and like maybe pick a player or two in a round that like maybe stood out to you. Like if I'm looking at round six, Matthew, yep, like, you know, again, these are all sort of guys that I think are being drafted where you expect them to be drafted. But one player who has made some rounds or made some internet noise recently, who I thought was sort of an interesting pick here by Stefania again in round six,
yeah,
is Mike Davis, definitely, a guy who we've talked about recently. We thought he was a big winner because of how the draft unfolded. And then Matthew, we also know that he now has alien quads. Literally, anyway,
has never, like, literally when he was a little baby, he was doing leg day. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it, you know, not since Saquon or AJ Dillon have we seen quads like that on the interwebs. So, literally, that I joked, I said, I think this picture just raises ADP by two rounds. So just looked massive. And obviously, Mike Davis is one of the big winners out of the NFL draft when they didn't really take anyone. Atlanta, like, I mean, you know, like Javian Hawkins, like, we'll see what happens. He's kind of a smaller back, but so he's a rookie, you know, maybe. And do they sign? Look, there's still some guys out there. There's still some veterans out there that they could sign and that would, you know, potentially eat into Mike Davis's workload. But as it stands right now, Mike Davis is RB1 on a team that we expect to have a pretty good offense. And so to get him in the middle of round six, I thought was great value for Stefania. You know, and again, like, it's one of those things, like, you know, if you go through this draft, like Mike Davis in round six, or, you know, here in, you know, like, I mean, we feel differently about this, but I would rather Mike Davis in round six than David Montgomery in round four field. That's me personally.
I prefer David Montgomery in round four than Mike Davis in round six. But yeah, I mean, obviously. But I think both are reasonable values there. Daniel, what do you got for me?
On that, I want to throw, I got two wide receivers questions for you, Field, and then we'll jump into round seven. You took Brandon Cooks here, which I thought was interesting in round six. Obviously, uncertainty around Deshaun Watson and what that quarterback situation is going to be like. I'm curious, was there any hesitation here, or do you think that Brandon Cooks, if we knew more about that Texans quarterback position, would be higher than where he's at here in round six?
Yeah, so some context around some of the wide receivers that are being taken right after him. Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Like, does that inspire a ton of confidence right now based off of how last season unfolded? DJ Chark, who we think he's a good player, but again, based off how last season unfolded, it's, you're kind of looking at players that have some level of, you know, of limitation, no matter where you go at wide receiver at this spot. We don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. So I am not making this pick with any sort of knowledge about what I think will happen. I just think Brandon Cooks, like, not a super duper star, but just a really good player. I mean, the guy's like 26 and he has what, 5 1,000 yard seasons. And I get it. He's played with some amazing quarterbacks, Brady and Breeze and Watson and Jared Goff. And he was playing really well. But he's also a really fast, explosive player in an offense that lacks fast, explosive players otherwise.
Yeah, 5,000 yard seasons of the six seasons he's played. So he can get a ton.
I actually really like the pick, Field. I'm loath to say something nice here, but I will say, yeah, I mean, honestly, I really like the pick because also who is his competition for targets on that team? Will Fuller's now in Miami. I mean, they have signed a who's who of like bargain bin guys this year. I mean, just Field, like, read off their depth chart beyond Brandon Cooks. You know, like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to think.
You know, Nico Collins, their pick, they just took. Yep. QT is still there. There are a couple pieces that are in place right now, but it's pretty thin across the board in Houston, really at all positions.
Is Chris Conley there this year? Like, it's a lot of guys.
Yeah, they signed, you know, Taewon Taylor recently. I mean,
it's guys like that. Andre Roberts. It's a lot of Chris Conleys. Like, and all due respect to Chris Conley, but like, Brandon Cooks is like a step above all those guys. And Nico Collins is an interesting guy in deeper leagues. I came close to drafting him in our rookie draft that we just did. But yeah, I mean, I really like Brandon Cooks. There are two guys that are really interesting here to me in this round. Both guys coming off of injured years, and the upside of them in round six is really interesting. So once again, Thirsty Kyle, nice pick here with Courtland Sutton. I think people forget how good Courtland Sutton was 2 years ago, injured very early, should get, you know, again, massive target share. And the other one that's interesting to me here, Field, Mike Clay at the end of round six takes Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know what to do with OBJ this year, because here's the thing. If I take the name away and I just look at the production, you know, he was, you know, this is this is somebody that is not an elite player. But again, you put the name on the thing, you put the name and you remember the years in New York and you're just like, you know, this guy should be going much earlier. What do we do with OBJ this year?
I think this is about where he should be going, you know, and this is the point where you have to, I mean, because what's the ceiling for Odell this season? Top 10 wide receiver?
I think the ceiling for him is wide receiver one. Like, he's got that kind of talent. I just think, but I think the likely outcome is, I mean, he just hasn't been good in Cleveland. And yeah, it's obviously a run-first offense.
Yeah, I hedge. I hedge on saying, you know, the ceiling is wide receiver one. Like, I think, you know, top 10 wide receiver is a, you know, that to me is like, if maybe like a 20% chance. So I'm going to go that far there. And if you have a 20% chance being a top 10 wide receiver, there are a few guys in this range that have like comparable upside. Like, I think the two San Francisco wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, might have similar upside. But other than that, like, a lot of these guys that are going not far after him, like Tyler Boyd and LaVisca Chenault and players of that caliber, Curtis Samuel, like, I don't know that I see that kind of upside for wide receivers that are being taken shortly after him.
Yeah, I want to jump into the seventh round here, coming from that, because Matthew, one of the things that you did, address the quarterback situation with the second quarterback off the board in this draft with Josh Allen. Right after you, Stefania took Lamar Jackson. Talk to me about taking Josh Allen over Lamar in this draft, Matthew, and waiting until the seventh round to be able to get Josh Allen. It seems like quarterback is just a, I mean, if that's who we're taking in the seventh round, just keep waiting on quarterback.
Well, right. That was sort of my point there is like, I listen, you know, about the thing with Mahomes, same thing. Like, I didn't plan on, I planned on sort of waiting on quarterback, but then you sit there and you're just like, you're in the middle of round seven and Josh Allen is still there. And you're just like, all right, well, this is just stupid. I mean, again,
how do
like,
I not take it? Right.
Right. It's when, I mean, again, here, the players that went right after Stefania took Lamar Jackson, but then DJ Shark, Brandon Ayuk, Leonard Fournette, Debo Samuel, Chase Claypool, Trey Sermon, like those are the guys that went right after Josh Allen. So you're like, am I taking one of those guys or am I taking Josh Allen? Like, you know, so we expect another huge year fantasy wise from Josh Allen. He's my number two quarterback. I think a lot of people have him at the, you know, at ranked there as well. He's certainly not a quarterback that's going to go outside the top four or five in any draft. So, you know, like, yeah, I think once again, every league is different, and in a league like this with a bunch of quote unquote experts, we tend to wait on quarterback longer than I think typical leagues do, but it just sort of shows to, you know, goes to show that, you know, if you can wait, good things can usually happen for you at the quarterback position.
Yeah, absolutely.
And absolutely. The last one here in this round, I'll just say is let Field talk about this and then maybe we can wrap this up. Javonte Williams goes to Field in at pick four in round seven. It wasn't a great rookie class for running backs, but Javonte Williams lands himself in a pretty interesting spot. And Field, I know you did the first draft podcast with Mel and Todd, you know, all this past season. So you got a real good look at a bunch of rookies. You were also at the Senior Bowl. Tell me what you like about Javonte Williams.
Yeah. So Javonte Williams, one of two North Carolina running backs to get drafted. Michael Carter from for the Jets as well, went in the fourth round. Javonte Williams was the more prototypical sort of workhorse type back, excellent balance, slithery as a runner, very good vision, powerful, did a lot of things really well. There was some chatter he might slide into the back end of the first round of the draft. He goes just a couple of picks into the second round. So very much a player that teams thought highly of. And, you know, the biggest impediment for redraft leagues is that Melvin Gordon has a $4.5 million fully guaranteed salary. So if he's going anywhere, it's because Denver is basically willing to swallow that pill, but more likely he sticks around in Denver. That's why Javonte Williams is going in round seven as opposed to any earlier than that. But if Denver says, you know what, we have so much cap space and Williams is that promising and it's a new GM and a new regime, we're going to move on from Melvin Gordon, then Javonte Williams would all of a sudden become one of the great values of my team so far, because you would think he would be in line for a ton of work ahead of Mike Boone.
Yeah, I really like the pick, especially in round seven, and especially how sort of your team was constructed as you waited a little bit on running back here. One last point about, you know, and just sort of talking about it, right? You look real quickly to round eight, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott both go there.
Just again, talking about sort of depth of quarterback, like just insane values on getting Kyler and Dak in round eight. Kyler went to Mike Clay. Tristan got Dak. Also, by the way, Michael Carter, who you mentioned, Field, I got him at the sixth pick in round eight. The expectation here is Michael Carter as good as Javonte Williams? He is not, but I think he might has a clear path to playing time with the Jets with only LaMichael Perine and Tevin Coleman in his way. Obviously, new regime there with the Jets as well as the new head coach and relatively new general manager. So Michael Carter has a pretty clear path to playing time on a team that we think will be better. The Jets aren't going to be great, but they're making a lot of steps in the right direction, including improving that offensive line.
All right, guys. So I want to wrap this up here. Obviously, we did the entire mock draft. Keith Lipscomb, any chance we'll be able to get this on .com or a way that we can show the rest of the good people what this mock draft looked like? Keith has not been with us for quite a long time.
I was going to say, wow, a not cool Keith appearance. This is amazing. Keith could have been in this draft.
Keith, do you want to – oh, wait. Keith might actually – he might have left. He might be doing actual work right now. That might be what's going on.
Oh, is that what it is?
It looks like that's the case.
Yeah, it looks like he's
– I'm with you.
Oh, love it.
There you go.
Keith, anyway, it's been so long since we've heard your voice. Any way that we'll be able to get this on .com to be able to show what the rest of rounds 8 through 15 looked like for all of our fantasy focus listeners?
As a matter of fact, yes. It will go up tomorrow morning, Friday morning, and we'll have a link to this podcast as well in there. So that way both audiences, you know, those who are listening today can go to the column. Those who only see the column can go to the podcast.
Love it. Fantastic. Field, any major takeaways really quickly? Last thing from the show. Any major takeaways from the first, you know, first mock draft that we've done? Like I said, we're going to do three more of these, see how the landscape changes, see how ADP changes. Any big takeaways from you? Matthew, same for you once Field is done, and then we'll wrap it up and get on out of here.
No major takeaways for me other than I'm very excited that we are getting ready for fantasy football again. It's not that we ever stray too far from fantasy football in our minds, but once the draft is over and once we're into what would normally be OTA season, it feels like fantasy gets cranking again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think that my biggest takeaway, obviously, is just the lack of competition. Just I crushed this draft and people just
very
didn't know what they're doing.
Very
I don't
cool.
understand. Yeah. It's just weird. It's just like, could we get some people that understand fantasy football mm-hmm. into this league with me?
Right.
That's all I asked. Yeah. That was my big takeaway. That's was fair. Just, you know, that like we have some we should have some openings in the fantasy part.
Yeah.
No, it was, you know, listen, it's always tough drafting with all these a bunch of very smart men and women. Always a challenge there. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is that running back gets really dicey in the middle rounds. Like, I feel like if you don't go running back early on, and that's fine if you don't, but if you don't, like, I would rather like just sort of punt on running back in those middle rounds. And yeah, I would rather, mm-hmm. you know, hit like, you know, for like round seven through 10, that Javonte Williams and the Michael Carters and, you know, those kind of guys, like I'd rather take shots at those sort of guys than sort of reach there in those middle rounds, those 4 through 6 rounds where I think Agreed. It gets a little dicey.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we will be back next week, as we always are. Field, this is you usually close out the podcast. You're so good at this. Why don't you close
it? Hey, we're back next. Yeah, but not much to say other than that, Daniel. We are indeed back next week. Obviously, we're in a slow time right now, so hopefully we'll have some fodder to talk about next week. But in the meantime, go wish Stefania a happy birthday anywhere on social media. You can also find Matthew on social media, Matthew Berry TMR, everywhere, except for the Fantasy Life app, where he is just at Matthew Berry. And we'll be back on Tuesday with stuff to plug. What do you got, Matthew?
I was just going to say it is National Streaming Day, and one way to access ESPN Plus is with a subscription to rotopass.com, where you get a 12-month subscription to ESPN Plus and a 12-month subscription to 5 other great fantasy football premium sites with tools and content and customized ranks and alerts and everything you need to dominate your draft and offseason. Promo code 06010. Gets you 10% off at rotopass.com.
There you have it. All right, we're back on Tuesday for Matthew, Daniel, Keith, and Matt. I'm Field. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
See you in the 06010.